listening to WGXC Accra. What up, Hudson Catskill? 90.7 FM.
New WGXC programmer Matthew O'Neill has a record release show at the Avalon Lounge in Catskill on September 3rd at 8 p.m. His new album is called Connection. On the bill of the record release show is Morgan O'Kane opening and Otto Hauser playing DJ during the show. Again, that's Saturday, September 3rd at 8 to 11 p.m. at the Avalon Lounge in Catskill. And there'll also be a live WGXC.org web stream and a broadcast on 90.7 FM. So turn out or tune in for the Matthew O'Neill record release show, Saturday, September 3rd at the Avalon Lounge in Catskill.
WGXC underwriting support is provided in part by Sun Common, supporting vibrant communities across New York for over 15 years, offering custom solar installations for homes, farms, and businesses. Information at suncommon.com.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Spike's Record Rack in Catskill, New York. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You too can become a sustaining supporter by going to wgxc.org/donate. Thank you for your support.
We interrupt this broadcast to bring you a special news bulletin.
Stay tuned to this station.
Stand by for news.
Direct via satellite from our on-the-spot task force.
Good evening from our newsroom in New York.
This is
Daily News and Weather Report.
From the WGXC newsroom, this is the WGXC Hands-On Radio News Update. I'm Philip Grant.
This is Tom Rowe. You can go to the newsroom at WGXC.org for more information about anything you hear here. The Daily Freeman is reporting that the Dutchess County Sheriff's Office will continue to process pistol permits as before, even after state gun laws change in September. Dutchess County Acting Sheriff Kirk Imperardi said in a press release that while the agency will continue issuing permits, applicants should expect significantly increased waiting times. He also said his agency will do everything possible to limit those wait times. Imperardi said the new law will require applicants to attend an extensive firearm safety course and provide information on their social media accounts as part of the enhanced background checks. He said that some jurisdictions have stopped taking applications at this time due to the increased waiting times. Read more about this story in the Daily Freeman.
Ulster County reports that New York State Department of Environmental Conservation Forest Rangers, the Office of Parks, Recreation, and Historic Preservation, and Ulster County Department of Emergency Services and local firefighters are trying to put out wildfires in the Napanock Point area of the Minnewaska State Park. Ulster County Executive Pat Ryan said, and I quote, "I want to thank all the agencies, staff, and volunteers who have coordinated with the response and assure residents that we are doing everything we can to keep people safe. Conditions right now are very dry, and we must remain vigilant and careful about fires," end quote. At least 30 acres has been burned. Officials believe the Napanock fire was started by a lightning strike on August 27th. Nearly 100 firefighters are on the ground, and two state police helicopters have dropped over 100 buckets of water on the blaze. One seasonal hunting cabin is within the vicinity of the Napanock fire, which is not an immediate threat to residents. New York's Hudson Valley and the Catskill regions remain at high fire danger risk as outdoor fires have the potential to spread quickly. The Ulster County website has more information on the fire.
Haley Brown and David Proper are reporting for the New York Post that more than 2 million New Yorkers will receive student loan relief under the federal new program, but the government first has to hire thousands of workers to help run it, U.S. Senator Chuck Schumer said. Quote, "They need to hire new people, train those people, and not have people wait 3 hours for a phone call," unquote, Schumer said on August 28th. Quote, "The federal government already has the dollars. We've spoken to the Department of Education. They are willing to give the loan processors more money to hire more people," unquote, he said. President Joe Biden announced on August 25th that his administration would forgive $10,000 for borrowers individually earning less than $125,000 a year or $250,000 as a family. Those who received federal Pell Grants and make less than $125,000 will be eligible for up to $20,000 in loan forgiveness. About $16.3 billion worth of debt will be canceled in New York alone, according to Schumer's office. New Yorkers have a combined $93.9 billion in federal debt, his office said. Student loan process providers are expected to be staffed up in the coming weeks to prepare for the calls anticipated this fall, Schumer said. Critics of the program, including some Democrats, have called it, quote, monumentally unfair, unquote, to those who have already paid off their debt, chose less costly colleges to avoid excessive debt, or opted never to go on to higher education. Read more about this story in the New York Post.
Andrea Mako is reporting in Porcupine Soup about the August 27th fire that engulfed three 120-yard garbage trailers at the Catskill Transfer Station. Responding firefighters kept the blaze away from three adjacent trailers. The Catskill Fire Company reported, and I quote, "We used a lot of tankers that hauled from the county parking lot off Water Street where Catskill's big engine was filling from the creek. A ton of manpower was needed, rotating constantly on four deployed hose lines for the overhaul," end quote. The Catskill Fire Company got help from departments in West Athens, Athens, Coxsackie, Errolton, Hudson, Leeds, Cairo, East Durham, and Livingston, while firefighters from Kistacom and Saugerties covered Catskill's district overnight. Catskill Fire Chief John Holt said on August 28th that the cause of the fire will likely remain a mystery. He said, and I quote, "You will never know," end quote. Read more about this story in Porcupine Soup.
Juliana Bruno is reporting for News 10 that 20 years have passed since Audrey Mae Heron went missing. She was last seen leaving her job in Catskill back in 2002. Quote, "It's obviously a sad anniversary, but I try to stay positive," unquote, said Sanchia Court, Heron's oldest daughter. Quote, "I try not to give up hope that we will find answers one day," unquote. Court was 10 years old when her mother went missing. Heron was a 31-year-old nurse and the mother of three when she disappeared without a trace. She was last seen leaving her job as a part-time nurse at Columbia Green Long-Term Care Facility in Catskill, driving a black 1994 Jeep on August 29, 2002. About 6 years ago, investigators followed a lead that brought them to Cotterskill Road in Catskill, where they excavated some ground and drained a pond, but the search came up empty. In May of 2022, state police sent divers to search three bodies of water in Greene County, including Catskill Creek, but that search came up empty-handed as well. State police said the case remains open and active. Quote, "She has a new investigator on her case that's really looking into things, so that keeps us hopeful that maybe something will come about," unquote, Court said. Read more about this story at news10.com.
News 10 in Albany reports that Mayor Kathy Sheehan has tested positive for COVID-19. Sheehan said she will work in isolation for at least the next 5 days. Sheehan said, and I quote, "I want to use this opportunity to remind our neighbors and friends to get tested for COVID, even if you have allergy-like symptoms, and to get vaccinated and boosted if you have not yet done so. It is clear COVID is still present in our community and that these healthy behaviors can save your life and the lives of your loved ones," end quote. Read the full story at the News 10 website. And that wraps up the WGXC Hands-On Radio News Update. For local weather reports, public meetings, and other community information, use the WGXC website, WGXC.org. From the WGXC Newsroom, I'm Philip Grant. Have a good day. And now here is your WGXC weather update. Well, on Tuesday, a chance of showers and thunderstorms are also possible after 5 p.m. Otherwise, it will be sunny and hot with a temperature high near 90 degrees. Tuesday night, a chance of showers and thunderstorms between 7 p.m. and 2 a.m. It will be mostly cloudy with a temperature low of around 66 degrees. And on Wednesday, a chance of showers mainly before 8 a.m. Otherwise, it will be mostly sunny with a temperature high near 82 degrees. And Wednesday night, mostly clear with a temperature low of around 57 degrees. And that is your weather update from WGXC 90.7 FM, radio for open ears in Greene and Columbia counties.
Tuesday, August 30th, tune into all sorts of creative community voices on 90.7 FM, including at 10 a.m. It's time for Ennis Duplan's The Future is Sighted in a Barren Wasteland show. It's a quarterly show, comes on just four times a year, and this month's theme is Come On Everybody Sing Along. And at 11 a.m., it's time for the Early Electro Mix show with tracks this week from Elsie Marie Petty, Beatrice Ferrari, and Carlos Farinas. Then at 2 p.m., it's time for the Bells, Bugs, Whispers, and Plinks show. Again, a quarterly show from Stephen Bradley and Edward Ruchowski on Fringe Lands Soundscapes this month. Then Steve Roden and Nicholas Collins are the featured artists on the Radio Art Hour at 3 p.m. And Neva Wartell is bringing on the swing on Music for the Masses at 8 p.m. on 90.7 FM, WGXC.
Get a local event mentioned on All Together Now. Go to WGXC.org and click on Add an Event at the top of the page. And copy and paste the information about your event in the boxes. Let's all get involved in our community. See what's going on at WGXC.org in the community calendar.
New WGXC programmer Matthew O'Neill has a record release show at the Avalon Lounge in Catskill on September 3rd at 8 p.m. His new album is called Connection. On the bill of the record release show is Morgan O'Kane opening and Otto Hauser playing DJ during the show. Again, that's Saturday, September 3rd at 8 to 11 p.m. at the Avalon Lounge in Catskill. And there'll also be a live WGXC.org web stream and a broadcast on 90.7 FM. So turn out or tune in for the Matthew O'Neill record release show, Saturday, September 3rd at the Avalon Lounge in Catskill.
Hey, man, I haven't seen you around for a while. Where you been? Oh, you know, I just been woodshedding. Oh, yeah, where's that? Oh, out in the woodshed. Oh, cool, dude, cool. What you working on? Oh, you want to check it out? Yeah, I got it on my mini disc player. Oh, yeah, let me hear it. Yeah, that's something I've been working on out in the woodshed. Oh, yeah, I like that sound, man. Hold on, let me play you something I got on my new DAT. Yeah, it's a DAT player. I've been working on it outside in the garage. Hold on, let me get it for you. Okay, put your headphones into this magic. Oh, that sounds eerily similar, but I really like it. Yeah, hopefully we can play together sometime so we can gang up on some serious power chords. Like this one? What about this one? Yeah, I like that one. We'll see you around, man. Battlefield Earth, every Tuesday night from 10 p.m. till midnight. Tune in.
Hello and welcome to the better weather for Tuesday, August 30th. Local early morning temperatures range from 67 degrees in Lexington to 74 in Tivoli. Regional average soil temperature is 73. Today, water plants early, then just stay inside. It is going to be nasty. Dew points will be in the low 70s, giving those air conditioners a run for their money. Heat warnings are out for all of the Hudson Valley. For us in particular, we will get a high of 91 degrees happening around 3 p.m. Right about that time, rain chances return, setting us up for a good old summer afternoon storm. Some branches could come down with the wind gusts. Things cool off overnight, dipping all the way down to 65 degrees. However, it will remain very humid with chances of rain all night. Tomorrow, things dry out, a high of 82 at 4 p.m., and dew points in the 50s should make it a lot more comfortable. Low temperature of 58 degrees overnight takes us into a comfortable looking Thursday with a high of 78. Overnight it stays nice with a low of 53. Then we get a warm but comfortable looking Friday with a high of 80. Pollen levels for today will be medium high. Today's tide schedule is high tide at 5:12 a.m., low tide at 12:09 p.m., then high tide once again at 5:51 p.m. Today's Hudson River current strength will be high. River temperature will be 79 degrees. Sunset today will be at 7:21 p.m. Sunrise tomorrow will be at 6:15 a.m. Looking way up, we see Earth is watching a bunch of coronal mass ejections sail on by. Some shortwave radio blackouts have been persistent and wide-ranging, but no direct impacts were felt. Incoming plasma stream is possible from a southern coronal hole today. Solar wind speed is currently 582 kilometers per second at 10.8 protons per milliliter. Radio propagation conditions are currently terrible because of the passing CMEs, and pretty much the same conditions will exist overnight. The 24-hour predicted KP index is 4, unsettled. The current sunspot number is 87, and this has been The Better Weather, brought to you by the Catskill Makers Syndicate.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Meredith Coy of Atlanta, Georgia. Sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You, too, can become a WGXC sustaining supporter by investing in community radio every month. Go to WGXC.org and click donate. Thank you for your support.
Early Electromix is a series to document the history of experimental electronic music from the 50s to the 80s. Pioneers who paved the way for what was to become techno, ambient, electronica, and most of what we are listening to. Essential Culture on air every Tuesday from 11 to 12 a.m.
You're tuned to Radio Art, creative transmissions, sound experiments, noise, and more on WGXC 90.7 FM, Acre.
Thank you.
That was Patrick Andy from his 2022 album Living in Mount Zion. That was Got to Give Some Help Dub on 90.7 FM.
Welcome to 2022 Talks, where we are following our democracy in historic times.
Many people are unsuccessfully fighting our subpoenas. We will continue to fight to make sure that the grand jury and the public gets the truth.
Fulton County, Georgia District Attorney Fannie Willis says a grand jury has heard from about 60% of the witnesses in the investigation into whether former President Trump and his allies tried to overturn the results of the 2020 presidential election. Willis called for testimony from several high-profile names, including Republican Senator Lindsey Graham, who alleges the investigation is politically motivated. Willis filed a motion asking for Graham's request to quash his subpoena be denied. Also Monday, a judge rejected Governor Brian Kemp's attempt to block his subpoena, but agreed to delay it until after the November election. The Justice Department finished its review of potentially classified documents seized from former President Donald Trump's home. U.S. intelligence officials are reviewing the documents for classified materials.
There's no White House involvement in that. It is an appropriate action for the director and the intelligence community to undertake.
National Security spokesperson John Kirby responded to questions about the probe and expressed concern about violence unfolding in Iraq Monday. It's reported multiple people were killed and dozens injured in clashes in the green zone of the Iraqi capital of Baghdad between supporters of Muqtada al-Sadr and security forces. Al-Sadr announced he would step down from politics, triggering violence between rival factions. There were reports the U.S. embassy was evacuated, which Kirby denied. Now to Ukraine, where U.S. officials say forces are preparing for a counteroffensive in the southern part of the country, which is expected to combine both air and ground operations. Russia's war with Ukraine passed its six-month mark. President Joe Biden will visit Milwaukee and Pittsburgh to celebrate American workers on Labor Day. The trip coincides with the final campaign stretch before midterm elections. There are high-profile races in both states. They include a tight race in Wisconsin as Senator Ron Johnson tries to defend a seat against Democratic Lieutenant Governor Mandela Barnes. And in Pennsylvania, Democrat John Fetterman faces celebrity doctor Mehmet Oz for the U.S. Senate. Vice President Kamala Harris responded Monday to criticism of the Biden administration's student loan forgiveness plan, aimed at tackling the nearly $1.7 trillion in outstanding federal student loan debt.
90% of the people who are going to benefit from student loan forgiveness make under $75,000 a year. And that debt has been the reason that they're unable to start a family, buy a home, and pursue their piece of the American dream.
The administration has yet to release an estimated price tag for the plan, which would cancel $10,000 in federal student debt for certain borrowers and up to $20,000 for Pell Grant recipients. Private loans are not included, which account for about 8% of outstanding student loan debt. I'm Mary Sherman for Pacifica Network and Public News Service. Find our eTrust indicators to support transparency and accuracy at publicnewsservice.org.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. We're headed to Mississippi today, where last week an 1890 Jim Crow voter suppression constitutional provision was shockingly upheld by the Fifth Federal Circuit Court of Appeals. When it was enacted, the constitutional provision stripping citizens of voting rights if they were convicted of certain crimes was openly discussed as an effort to keep black citizens from voting. Originally, Section 241 of the Mississippi Constitution disenfranchised citizens convicted of burglary, bribery, theft, arson, perjury, forgery, embezzlement, or bigamy. In the 1960s, burglary was removed and murder and rape were added. It turned out that it was those additions which caused the court's majority to ignore the motivation for the law. The majority opinion concluded that those changes were made without racial prejudice, so the provision could stand. The opinion said, "We are not blind to the state's deplorable history of racial discrimination, but the overall social and political climate in Mississippi in the 1950s and 1960s fails to carry the plaintiff's burden to prove that the 1968 amendment intentionally discriminated against black voters." According to Democracy Docket, almost 11% of the state's voting age population is disenfranchised as a result of this provision. Mississippi, which has the highest percentage of African Americans of any other state, 38%, has not elected a black person to statewide office since 1890. For the American Democracy Minute, I'm Brian Beal.
You can go there with your family, and you can meet new friends in the library. When you're at the library, you can read lots of books, and you can find any book. There are lots of Dog Man books, which are my favorite books of all. When I go to the library, I read them. And that's why I like the library.
I'm also on a radio show at the library, and there was also a video making workshop that I did, and I did some animation, and I made a lot of new friends, and I laughed a lot, and it was really fun. My main reason of coming here is because it's books. Of course, it's a library, and I really like the wide selection of books, and they have computers and all sorts of stuff. They also recently did a mural painting thing where they painted the computer room in the back, and I got to be a part of that, and it was really fun. It looks really cool now, and I just really appreciate the library for being here. And if I had to choose between this library and any other one to go to, I would choose this one. I really like the Hudson Area Library, and I hope that it stays running for as long as I live, or maybe even longer, because I know a bunch of people that love to read.
...2022 new music there from Black Country New Road. The song is called Chaos Space Marine on the radio at WGXC 90.7 FM.
Next, we have an interview from
WOOC.
To learn more about this program, the Sanctuary for Independent Media, visit us online at mediasanctuary.org.
A harmful algae bloom, or HAB, has overtaken parts of the Wallkill River and Rondout Creek near New Paltz, putting recreational users at potential risk from toxins produced by the algae. The Wallkill and Rondout combine to form the largest tributary to the tidal portion of the Hudson River. Dan Shapley of Hudson Riverkeeper has been monitoring the situation.
So algae is a normal, natural part of freshwater ecosystems like our creeks and rivers and ponds and lakes. And there's multiple kinds of algae and bacteria that are in the water, and they're sort of the base of the food chain. What we're seeing now, however, with these harmful algal blooms or types of bacteria that in these conditions that we're experiencing right now are proliferating to such a degree that they can overtake a waterway and really grow super abundant. And that's where you see these mats of green over the surface of certain waters. And this type of cyanobacteria that we call harmful algae produces toxins, and these toxins can be harmful to pets. The dogs that swim in the water can ingest the water and then groom themselves to kind of get a double dose. We see dogs, unfortunately, dying from exposure to this around the country because of these blooms. They can be harmful to people. If you touch the water that has these toxins, you could get a skin rash. If you go swimming, you could get gastrointestinal illness. And there are more serious symptoms that can result from exposure to some of the strains and some of the toxins, including neurological damage. So they can be serious. It's something people really need to understand how to recognize and protect themselves by avoiding the water when it is having one of these harmful algal blooms. Once a waterway is being affected, the best thing you can do is avoid it and avoid contact with that water as a protection for yourself and especially your pets. The underlying conditions that allow for this to happen are basically three big ingredients. And I'll use the Wallkill River as an example because that's where we're seeing another big harmful algal bloom this year, similar to one we saw back in 2016, where miles and miles of the river have been affected. So the conditions that allow for that to happen are, number one, an overload of nutrients in the water. Nutrients are obviously, sounds like a good thing. We need nutrients in our waterways, just like our bodies need nutrients. But just like us, if we get too much of a good thing leads to bad outcomes for our health. And so for these waterways with an overload of nutrients from sewage, including treated sewage, farm runoff, and other sources, there's too much fuel for these algae. And so then when certain other conditions allow, they will proliferate. And those other conditions are slow-moving warm water. The dams on the Wallkill River create a series of pools that are slow-moving water and heat up in the summer. And then the weather that we're having with this long dry spell and the hot temperatures is providing the last ingredient to make these blooms really take off. And so that last one's really important to remember because with climate change, we need to anticipate ever more frequent extremes, such as the extremes that we're seeing this summer. So these conditions are going to show up more and more frequently with hot water and low water from drought. So we have to reduce the underlying pollution burdens of this nutrient overload if we want to protect ourselves and prevent these harmful algal blooms from occurring.
Do they center on any specific places otherwise in the area? Where else have they been? How much area have they covered?
The DEC, our State Department of Environmental Conservation, has a good system for everyone who's listening to learn how to observe these. There's good images on their website. You can just search for New York DEC HABS, H-A-B-S, and it will come right up. This is a resource to kind of understand what to look for, but also if you do see it, you take a couple photos. It's a simple form that you can then fill out, and it will go onto a map that's available for everyone around the state. And as someone who might want to enjoy swimming or other recreation, you could go to that map ahead of time and see if the place that you want to go and visit has had one of these blooms or is having one right now. And that can inform your choice about, you know, going here or there. So there's obviously lots and lots of places that are not having them. So there are places for people to get out in the water safely, but you just have to do a quick quick research to make sure the spot you're headed for has not been compromised by one of these harmful algal blooms.
Scott Kellogg from the Radix Ecological Sustainability Center in Albany explained why this is a recurring problem here and how it goes beyond even the algae outbreaks.
It's a consequence of having a single set of pipes in the ground that handles stormwater and sewer together. And when we have a heavy rain event, they, by design, will spill raw sewage into the Hudson River, which then provides a nutrient source for algae in the river who undergo what's called an algal bloom, which a lot of people are familiar with when it turns the water into sort of a pea green, pea soup looking quality. For the most part, they're not the worst aspect of themselves. The issue is after they run out of nutrients, they die and their bodies are consumed by bacteria who have the result of stripping the oxygen out of the water and resulting in a fish die-off, which can create anoxic and unhealthy conditions for life in the Hudson River, while at the same time creating a public health issue as you have raw sewage in the river that can expose people to harmful viruses and bacteria.
What solutions are you thinking about or what can we do to improve this?
Right. So we can look at it at a very high level and say, well, ultimately, the solution in these older cities would be to put a second set of pipes in the ground to separate the stormwater from the sewage. Of course, the cost for doing that is going to be astronomical. There is a major project currently underway in Lincoln Park in the south end of Albany where they're installing the Beaver Creek Clean River Project, which is essentially going to be a pre-filtration system for sewage discharges. So it's not going to reduce the frequency of CSOs per se, but it's going to make them cleaner events. These are all, of course, sort of very high-level mega-scale interventions. So, you know, from our angle, from a grassroots community-based organization, the question is what can we do on a smaller level that's involving citizens? And, there's a number of things that we're advocating, particularly removing impervious cover, particularly in vacant lots, old parking lots that, providing obsolete infrastructure for automobiles that we're trying to phase out with inside of cities, taking up that impervious cover and giving rainwater a chance to absorb into the soil so it doesn't run off and overwhelm the sewer systems. Of course, doing things like rainwater collection, where we're catching water off of rooftops and slowing it down. And we're always looking for interventions that are also going to produce regenerative outcomes for community members, particularly in environmental justice communities like the South End of Albany. So doing something like rainwater collection can create water for people to use in their gardens for urban agriculture. Though assuming that these combined sewer overflows are still going to continue to happen for the foreseeable future, we're looking at what we can do in the river itself. So one thing that we've been working on this past summer through funding that we've gotten from the DEC's Hudson River Estuary Program is to build what are called artificial floating islands, which are pretty much constructed wetlands that are buoyant. They're attached to floating media and have water plants that are zip tied onto them who send their root networks down into the water column. And we anchor them near or in the vicinity of sewage outfall pipes. So when those occur, sewage will pass through the root zones of the water plants where bacteria can assist in the degradation of the sewage while the plants themselves will uptake those nutrients out of the water. So what might have been soluble nutrients that could have been contributing to eutrophication will instead get transformed into what we call harvestable biomass. So at the end of the season, we can bring the islands on land and compost them, turn them back into a fertilizer. And really importantly, though, this is something that we do with youth from Albany, and particularly Albany South End, many of whom, despite having grown up on the banks of the Hudson River, have never actually been down to it because of the fact that Interstate 787 has cut off everybody's access to it. So bringing youth down to the river and then showing them how it's possible to take proactive measures towards addressing issues like water pollution using simple and affordable methods like the ones that we've been doing that also employ biological organisms is a way to build a sense of connection and reciprocity and love between people and the well-being of the river itself.
To see a map of the local algae blooms or report one yourself, just search DECHAB. To learn more about the Radix Center, just go to radixcenter.org. Reporting for Hudson Mohawk Magazine, this is Moses Nagel.
That interview was from
WOOC.
To learn more about this program, the Sanctuary for Independent Media, visit us online at mediasanctuary.org.
Would you like to do a show on WGXC?
Would you like to do a show on WGXC?
I'm Tom Rowe in Acre with the WGXC renewable weather forecast. And we start each renewable weather forecast with the price of fossil fuels in Greene County. The Gas Buddy website says the lowest price is $4.03 a gallon at the Citgo in South Cara. And we look at the air quality forecast, and it's a 32, which is better than yesterday's 47, and in the good range. Then we look at the UV index from the EPA, and for our area, it is expected to be a 6 on Tuesday. That is in the high range, just like yesterday, and you're recommended to wear a wide-brimmed hat, sunglasses, and 30-plus SPF sunscreen if you're out in the sun for a longer period of time. Tuesday, the National Weather Service in Albany says there's a 30% chance of rain, possibly a thunderstorm, and mainly after 4 p.m. Before then, it'll be sunny and hot, high near 87, and a south wind, 8 to 10 miles per hour, spinning local windmills. Tuesday night, there's a 70% chance of rain, possibly a thunderstorm again, with cloudy skies and a low around 64 and a south wind, 6 to 8 miles per hour. Wednesday, the rain should be over by 8 a.m., then it turns mostly sunny and cooler, with a high of just 78 and a northwest wind 6 to 11 miles per hour in the morning. Wednesday night should be clear with a low around 56 and a northwest wind around 6 miles per hour. And then Thursday should be sunny with a high of 73 and a low around 49. You're listening to the radio, WGXC 90.7 FM, Acre, Catskill, Hudson, solar-powered radio for open ears. Thank you.
Next, we hear music from the 2022 album Evolution, Here We Come, from Philadelphia-based guitarist Chris Forsythe. This is called Robot Energy Machine.